Well, it's exactly the point. A lot of parents watch their kids play computer games saying, why don't they approach homework in the same way? Why don't they approach school the same way as they're approaching World of Warcraft? And one reason why kids are spending so much time playing games is because they're designed very well to hold their attention. So now the big challenge is, how do we get real content, educational content, useful transferable content into the same form as killing ogres and goblins and flying spaceships?
You want them to play what are called serious video games. What do you mean by serious?
Well, it's two areas. There's educational simulations and serious games, and they're getting closer and closer together. The origin example of educational simulations are things like the flight simulator, which have been used in business schools and medical schools, virtually forever. Then there's serious games that are more like SimCity, that are much more fun, much more exciting, and still have a lot of transferable content.
What about reading? I mean, people think if you sit in front of a video game all day, you're not going to be spending your time in front of books. So this should be a supplement to traditional learning, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think increasingly so. Having said that, a lot of kids, frankly, have learned to read by reading the instructions of computer games. So that's been an avenue of reading for a lot of kids. Interestingly enough, though, the conference that we're doing tomorrow at Excelsior is on that exact topic of writing. And a lot of kids today are not very good writers, frankly. And so one of the real opportunities is to use simulations and serious games to develop writing skills in students, which is pretty exciting.
You mentioned the airline pilot simulators that pilots train on. They have to refresh their skills, I guess, 2 or 3 times a year at these simulators.
Every 9 months, but yes.
Every 9 months. How would a young person, higher education or high school, learn from that type of situation?
Well, it's a very, very transferable model. When you build an airplane simulator, most of them are around 93, 94% fidelity. So they're very, very accurate models that transfer pretty perfectly to the real world. So you can, learn to drive a car. If you're a soldier, you learn to drive a tank. A lot of the things that we're talking about that are being used in high school and college levels are a little more abstract. So they're dealing much more with concepts than the learning to do. A good educational simulation will teach someone conviction, why things are important. So we can get kids to practice things. They can practice doing things the wrong way. And then once they get the feedback from what they get wrong, they can repractice it doing it the right way.
I think we all had to read Moby Dick in college. How would you take Moby Dick and transfer it to a serious video game?
I wouldn't take Moby Dick necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
One bad approach might be to create a kind of interactive Moby Dick, which sounds pretty horrible to me. But much more importantly, maybe give someone the situation in Melville where he was originally a travel writer before he killed his career by actually writing Moby Dick. So one simulation might be around, how do you see a scene? How do you see a situation and write about that situation in a way that might be like a good travel guide? To give people the practice of writing based on, in this case, a virtual environment, and then sort of see the transfer of how Melville went from a travel writer to a novelist.
Most video games, the type that you really don't want them to be playing too much of, require quick decisions, split-second action. But when it comes to learning, when it comes to knowledge, sometimes long-term contemplation, thought, cognitive skills are really necessary. So how do those get developed into what we usually think of as a fast action game?
Sure, there's a lot of twitch speed games to be sure, but even arguably things like Angry Birds are not twitch speed. You have all the time in the world to think about it. So I think the notion of this, how fast can you mash the buttons is of some games, but not of the more interesting ones. More importantly, though, good computer games have great level design. The first level is pretty easy. Second level gets a little harder. Third level gets a little harder. By the time you're done, and only 10 or 15 hours into the game, you're applying some incredibly comprehensive strategies and tactics. And so the ability of a computer game to teach by never telling you anything, but by presenting to you opportunities to learn yourself, is something that, by the way, works really, really well for males who hate being told what to do, but don't mind making mistakes and crashing through things until they do get them. So good level design gets more and more complicated cognitive processes going.
You just mentioned the male student. How do these serious video games differ from the male student to the female student? How do the different genders react?
Again, it is a mistake to think that more males than females play computer games. It's about 54 female today. More importantly, though, from the perspective of going to it, again, most boys love making mistakes, crashing through things, not being told what to do, and learning on their own. Typically, more female, and this skews a bit older too, by the way, like reading instructions first, like knowing what they're doing, and then entering it sort of with a little more background. So you have to build good educational simulations and serious games that can accompany both both learning styles. Then on the other hand, you can have the motivation factor, where some people, the motivation is social. I want to make friends. I want to be a friend. Sort of Farmville has that basic model, versus I want to destroy things and blow things up, which tends to be more male. And it's a little trickier to make things be educational in that context.
What's the reaction been so far from higher education, the older professors, the older administrators who are used to a more traditional style of teaching?
Oh, they loathe it.
Yeah. Why?
Because it's...
It's new?
It's new. It's a challenge to them. It's a different way of presenting information. For me, one of the really interesting parts about why I got into this whole area is most of the important skills, like leadership and project management and relationship management and stewardship and innovation, go through the list. Most of the most important skills that companies hire for and that help people control their lives have fallen through the cracks of traditional education. The most important skills have not been able to be taught. So part of my own interest in this is saying, how do we allow these harder learning to do topics to be taught when traditional professors are just focusing on learning to know?
When I was in high school and college, and this goes back quite a ways now, the calculator was becoming a big deal. And there was a debate, I know, among teachers and even some students, should we be using these because it's doing the work for us?
It's cheating.
Is it? But what about video games? Is it doing the work for us?
Not at all. I mean, I think even calculators, most of us have come to the realization that calculators are useful some of the time. You want to understand the underlying concepts. On the other hand, calculators, you know, are really useful tools once you understand the basics. By the way, spreadsheets are much more interesting than calculators, and they help people learn even more important concepts than just a calculator, and I hope they're used more in classrooms. I think computer games are not ever meant to replace traditional tests, traditional term papers, traditional lectures, but augment them, and augment them fairly significantly. What's been hard for professors is when a professor uses a simulation the first time, they're very apologetic. They're very much like the first parent. They're sort of overcorrecting everything. By the time that professors get good at using educational simulations and serious games in a classroom, they're much more like the parent of the third or fourth child. They're like, you know, you won't always know what to do. That's fine. You'll be frustrated. Get used to it. Welcome to life. And, you know, I'll see you in a couple of days. So it's a very different process of coaching versus teaching that I think some professors really take to and some don't.